Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord our God has many wonderful things to say to us, His people. I'm excited about the fact that God loves us and He cares about us. He gives us what we need. And as we pay attention to the Holy Spirit, there are so many wonderful things we can learn. Now, the other day I found a writing, some writings that I did back in 1993, before my children were born. And they were just as relevant today as they were the day that the Holy Spirit gave them to me. And it blessed me to look over those writings again. I can remember some of the events around the times that I wrote them. And the Lord loves His people. And I was telling my wife, the Lord's been trying to get people's attention all along. He knows what's coming. He knows what we're headed for. And people have not paid attention enough. And they have not learned what He had to say. Many people will be caught off guard. But I thank God for the soldiers, the ministers who love God. They stood in the gap. They went into prayer and they found out things that's happening. And, you know, Jesus said that as the days of Noah, just like in the days of Noah, it's going to be that way again before He returned. And people will be going about their daily routines and destruction is going to fall all around them. And many people will be caught off guard. And that's a problem. With the information that the Holy Spirit has given His people, a lot of people took it too lightly. And I was telling my wife this morning that the Lord is talking, but people are missing out on His best because they believe something else. Whatever you believe of God, you have to make sure that it's accurate with the Word and count on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's reasonable. I mean, to do it another way is not reasonable. It's not good to assume things that are of God without accurate information. It's not the way to do it. But God loves us, and nevertheless, He cares about us, and He's working with us. He's going to help us out. But we have to pay attention to Him. The Lord has given warning, and now you just have to seek Him. And God has people, even on YouTube and Facebook and Instagram, people. He has people saying what's necessary. And when you hear people's testimonies, when you hear the prophecy videos, it's up to you to go to the Lord in prayer and make sure it's accurate, like the Bereans did. Now, how many times does it take for God to give us an example? The apostles that Jesus sent taught the Bereans just like He taught everybody else, but the Bereans were more noble than others because they searched the Scriptures. They went to the Scriptures and got it for themselves. And the Lord said they were more noble, which is a kind way of saying they had a whole lot more sense. And sometimes when the Holy Spirit is, well, every time the Holy Spirit speaks, you don't just listen, and you do research. You go and ask questions. I always tell people, if you want to do God's will, you need a firm understanding of what He expects and why. I don't know another way to do it. We have to seek Him and do what He said do. It's very important, or he wouldn't have told us to do it. So whatever He says do, it's important. If it was important enough for God to say, it's important enough to get a firm understanding of what he said. And if you don't, then you're going to get what you get. A lot of people are going to be caught off guard. And Jesus is going to return. He's going to take His people up in the rapture. That's one surprise for the world. The world didn't see it coming. They heard about it, but they discounted it. You know, worldly preachers, they love worldly things. They don't listen. They never do. Proud people, you can't teach a proud man anything. It's hard to get anything over to a proud person. But the light of God's word, when you live the light of God's word, if that don't work, nothing will. Because living the life, that'll work when people won't listen. Because your life is obvious. They can't ignore a better way of living. That's why it's light. If you keep walking in love before people and wisdom and purity, then you interrupt all of Satan's works. Satan hates Christians because he can't deal with them. When you live the life of God and you won't walk according to the world, when you govern yourself according to God's word, he can't handle that. He doesn't have anything that can overcome that. No matter what people do or say, he can't overcome that. But when we live according to God's word, it works. It's a way of life that works. And there is no condemnation to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So when you walk according to the spirit and not after the flesh, then there's no condemnation against you. You got heaven backing you. You got angels backing you. When you believe something, it stands, it sticks, it works. And the Lord has welcomed all of us to the kingdom of God, and we grow from glory to glory. That's just the way it is. Now, when people decide, hey, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that, I'm not going to walk by love. Now, they don't usually say it, they just don't walk by love. And when people, at the end of the day, whatever's in a person's heart, that's what they're going to perform. Whatever's in their heart, they will perform it. There are deterrents. Some people may delay evil because they know they can't get away with it. They're going to get caught, so they don't rob the bank, or they refrain from doing certain things, which is good for them because now they don't have to deal with the aftermath of sowing and reaping. Even though their heart is dark, and if they had a chance, they'll do wrong. Now that's bad. These are the kind of people that the Lord's going to have to leave here when he raptures his people. Some people are that you would think that they're Christians or they love God, but in essence, they love the world. They act right around their family and friends and the people that's in their world. But if they had their way, they'd be doing Hollywood. But because they're married, they have children, and they put a mask on. Well, with God, that won't work. You got to love him for real. You got to, if you, he can read your heart. He knows what's in it. And if you have seeds of abomination in your heart, how can he rapture you? It's just not going to happen. God is going to take his people who follow him. He made that distinction several times to me. And he said, he gave me instructions to teach, to pray for his people. And I talked about that back in, I think it was 2012. The Lord he stopped me and he said, there's something happening in the spirit. I want you to pray. And so I started praying for his people who follow him and his people that don't follow him. Because I know some people are strong and some are weak. Some are wise, some are foolish. And he stopped me. He stopped me from praying for people who don't follow him. He said, only pray for those who follow me. And my antennas went up because that was very important. And I've been faithful to pray for his people who follow him. And when I want to pray for people and I'm not sure, I count on the Holy Spirit to help me pray for people. Because if I'm praying for somebody to have the life of God and they don't want it, then we're not in agreement and there can be no prayer. But if they want the life of God, you know, I pray for people. If they seem like they want it, and, you know, just like people you love and you talk to, I'm learning all these wonderful things about the Lord. How can I forget about my loved ones that may see things a little different? And And I understand people have different varied opinions. This is, I'll give you an example. Marriage. All right. When I think about marriage and the definition of marriage, I saw what my parents had. They loved God and they loved each other. And I wanted that kind of marriage. So to me, that's golden. That's valuable. Marriage is valuable. Marriage is a blessing. But that's how I'm looking at it. But some people, every day of their life, of their existence, so to speak, their parents were fighting and fussing and cussing each other out or being rude to each other or not speaking at all and getting on each other's nerves, never listening to one another. Nobody in their right mind would want that. So their definition of marriage is way below the zero line. While my definition of marriage was way above the zero line. And then some people, they come from a decent home, but they watch TV and they see how. I remember a show with the Waltons, and Mr. Walton had a house full of children, from very young kids to very old kids, and they were all in one house. And it took them 5 minutes to say goodnight. And they always ended with John Boy. Well, one of his friends came over with a red sports car. He didn't have any children. And Hollywood presented him as being free and somewhat better off. And it was, you know, his life was supposed to rival the family man's life. But the show, it showed the value of having family, but it also showed how the other guy looked free as a bird. He could date whoever he want to. And sometimes people, they wish they could just date whoever they want to and have fun all the time. Well, there's a price tag with it. Any kind of sin, there is a price tag. You can't have Mr. Walton had a family that loved each other, they cared about each other, they dealt with their problems, and they had a devotion towards God. You can't get better than that. But now, I'm going to tell you something that is better than that. What if every person in that house had a thriving relationship with the Lord? Not just a traditional church relationship, but a thriving relationship. See, a traditional church relationship, you just know you're going to heaven. And you go, you sing the songs, you read the word, and you deal with this bitter life the best way you can. But see, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, it's much deeper than that. It's much greater than that. The Lord can intricately show you how to deal with situations. And if you're mature, you can't learn. Some things you can't learn unless you become mature. People that won't become mature, they have a hard time learning what the Lord has to say. A very hard time learning what the Lord has to say. And they don't, even if they do learn, their bitter life takes it away from them. Because their attention is fixed on their problems. But what if their attention was fixed on the Lord? Their attention is on Jesus. And whatever the Holy Spirit says, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Some people are living off 10% of the word, if that, that proceeds out of the mouth of God. A message that God is giving so you can preach to others. Wisdom for you to teach your son. Your curiosities never get satisfied. You never ask the Lord. You don't spend time with the Lord and ask him what you're concerned about. You don't spend time. People don't. They don't do this. They're seeking God about how to grow a ministry or how to get married in the first place. Then when they get married, they don't ask the Lord questions about how to make our marriage stronger. I'm still trying to learn my wife's interest. Things that she's interested in so I can support her. And I try to introduce her to things. When we seek the Lord, and you know, I I ask him about what I'm interested in, what I need to do, and he teach me things. And sometimes it's up to the end of, you got to get the individual to seek the Lord about what they could be doing. These dialogue and conversations take us much further along. And I do that as a way of life. I ask him to teach me things so that I can do it better. And he give me inside information about me. Things I don't even know about myself. And sometimes, I said, Lord, why do I keep doing the same thing? Why don't I charge enough? He said, you feel like you got to be a blessing to people at the expense of your family. He said, you feel that way in your heart. Then I know what this was way back in the late 80s. When the Lord showed me that, I knew what to change. And I began to work on my problem. Some people, that problem will stick with them for the rest of their life, and they'll never ask the Lord about how they do things. They don't question what they're doing. They just keep doing the same thing. Now, this happens so much and so often. Sometimes preachers only seek the Lord about ministry stuff. They want something new that they can preach. An insight that they have. But you can study to preach, or you can study to live. If you study to live, God will give you what to preach. He knows people. He knows what they need. And people are satisfied if they can prove their points. And then never understanding how love works, how wisdom works, how holiness works. With those three things I just mentioned, people say, well, I know how they work. The Lord taught me that they work together. In order for a person to live a balanced life, they have to have first love, and they have to have holiness, and they have to have wisdom. See, otherwise, if you try to be holy and pure without love and wisdom, you're gonna end up trying to do salvation by works. Your focus is going to be your works. If you try to be wise without love and holiness, you can become cunning. You'll be able to see the better way to do things, and then pride will set in place of love. But you have to keep all, the only way to balance it is to have all three. And the Lord taught me this. If you have love, if you try to just walk by love and you don't have wisdom or holiness, your life is going to be a wreck, because you're not going to watch out for things. You'll walk into traps. You have to have all three. And all three of those attributes, they are the parents of every other attribute. If you have love, holiness, and wisdom in place, you can always have peace. You can always hear God. You can always remember what He said. When those three things are in place, there's so much that people don't know. Basic things. Because of the and they do it because that's what their predecessors did. Sometimes the predecessors are wrong. The people that went before us, they did the best they could do with what they had to work with, but there was a whole lot of room for improvement, and I mean for everybody. Our parents, the best preachers, even the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, He gave us what we need through the apostles, but they didn't always know. They didn't always grasp everything that Jesus said. You could see them getting into the same kind of troubles He warned them about. He warned them not to get into the leaven of the Pharisees or the leaven of Herod. And they did good with that. They knew what to watch out for, and they stuck with that. But as soon as they died, the church was leavened with the evil of Herod and the Pharisees together. It didn't take long, a few hundred years, then the Dark Ages happened. And people thought the church was extinct. But God always had a remnant of people who listened. Most people don't. Most people would, if they could see the light long enough, they'll come to it and they'll grow. Now that's what Satan's afraid of. So the more we learn from the Lord, the better off we'll be. And then there are soldiers there are people that will come and be like soldiers that will fight the good fight. Some people don't fight the good fight at all. They just try to live and survive, and they'll die that way. But there are many, if they heard it right, when people get into pride, they ruin everything. They block the gates of heaven, and the Lord's going to judge it. When people get into lust and greed, they mess up things too. And then everybody that get in pride gets in fear. And people that won't repent from their sin, they end up getting dragged into pride. It just takes longer. But if they'll repent and walk according to the love of God and the holiness of God and the wisdom of God, they'll be stable and mature. Now they're at a point where they can hear every word that proceeds out of God's mouth. And this is why. If they try to walk in love and wisdom and they exclude holiness, they're not going to be stable. And when the word comes to help them, if they don't like the part where they got to do right, they're going to try to figure, or they're looking for a loophole. And once the enemy notices it, he's going to give them a loophole. He'll give them 10. And they'll have 10 reasons not to do what God said do. And it'll become their normal. So that's going to cut them off from a lot of things that the Lord has to say. Even if they see the light, they're gravitating to a loophole. And now they got 10. It don't take but one. And the reason I said that is because the enemy is desperate. He'll give you a bunch of reasons not to do something God said do. I just selected the number 10, I guess by the Holy Spirit. But if you think about it, everybody that, look at when the prophets tried to get the kings to repent. They gave a reason why they wouldn't. Jeremiah told Zedekiah what to do. He said, go and surrender your life to the king and you will live and you'll get to stay in your land. He said, but I'm afraid that the king will mock me and do this. And he tried to fight and he ended up getting caught. Then the king killed his sons right before his face. Then he put his eyes out. And Jeremiah told him all this was going to happen to him. All he had to do was surrender because it was factual. He being a king, he knew that Israel was corrupt and Judah was corrupt. They got into idolatry. Now God's going to judge the idolatry. They didn't let the land lay out. He's going to let Nebuchadnezzar take over. And this is not what he wanted to happen. And now, then the prophet said, now go and let him have your life. And then he'll let you stay here with your family. Otherwise, he's going to take your wives and give them to somebody else and your daughters. That would have motivated me to listen to the prophet because I wouldn't want my daughters in some harem somewhere. But his pride, he was worried about, his main concern was how he looked before men. So he ended up being dragged to Babylon, and he was blind. His sons were dead, and his wives, he had to know that his wives was in somebody else's harem, and so was his daughters, and there was nothing he could do about it. And all he could do is remember what Jeremiah told him in the first place, just like people that won't listen now. That's terrible. I can understand if he would rather be dead. But choosing the path of death is death. When you can be choosing life. And the Lord, not only when I say ask him questions, there's so many wonderful things he has to say that will make your life even stronger. But only a mature person will do this. If a person is love, if they have love in them, and they're pure in their heart, it's easy for them to be wise. But sometimes people don't select wisdom. So, for that reason, they don't completely take the high road. They do dumb stuff. They get in debt. When the enemy dangles something, they run after it. And it interferes with what God can. If you see, when you have love, and then you apply wisdom, the wisdom of God, and it takes effort to learn these things. First of all, you got to set your heart. I'm going to do this. When you get to that point, I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to live a pure life, and I'm going to be wise. Now, your heart is set. That's the first step. Now you have to learn these things. Now, I couldn't teach myself how to love people. I said, Lord, teach me how to love your people. He taught me how to love people. He taught me things about people. And I wanted to love people. I wanted to represent Jesus. Now, all I wanted out of this was to be able to not be, not have a lack of temper and fight if somebody provoked me. I wanted to be able to turn the other cheek just like Jesus said, do. That's all I wanted to know, how do I do it? Because I knew that I wasn't good at it. But when he helped me that day to get rid of the anger at my weakest moment, when I was about to fight Slim. I always tell this story. It just blew my mind how it worked. I was at my lowest point, and the Lord spoke to me and said, everlasting love, to love a man whether he does you good or whether he does you evil. And that word got him. It was, my heart was wanting something from the Lord, and it got in there. And I had the strength to refrain myself. I had temperance again. And with the temperance, I was able to say, hey, man, I want to buy a drink, and we're just going to talk about it. And I had the words, the right thing to say came to me. And my heart was refreshed. So that's why, from that, I said, Lord, teach me how to love your people. Then he's taught me about people, how the enemy works against them, how he sets them up for the kill, how he hides their weaknesses till it's too late. He tempts them ahead of time, all along, gradually, and they don't even realize it. And then all at once, he'll spring a trap on them at their suspected weakest moment. And he helped me to be able to understand other people's positions and what they go through. And he helped me, and all of this worked together to help me value people like he does. I don't just see people as people. I see the blood of Jesus. This is a soul that he loved just like me. And it worked on every level. It was so much. It was so wonderful. I already wanted to do right, so that was easy. And I wanted to know, with the love of God, I was able to see things. It took me a while to get wisdom, and I'm still learning how to be wise in greater ways. When I see wisdom applied, I try to incorporate it into my life, and I try to do things in a better way. And I ask the Lord to show me my best options. And I'm not always, what I would normally choose is not always the best role, but when the Lord showed me something, I go with it. And the Holy Spirit has so much to say, He gives us wisdom. Now watch this. The Lord will teach you in a way that you won't get in pride over what he taught you. The devil got in pride for two reasons. He was beautiful and he was wise. See, when things start working, you also have to have the dedication to remain holy. Now, how can a person, if I said earlier, if you have love and holiness and wisdom, you have the that's the prime foundation. All the other attributes, the good attributes, come from those three things. And you have to protect it. Now, the way you do this, you have to receive the light of God's word and reject the lies of Satan. Reject the darkness that will come to interfere with your life. You have to reject it. And you have to reject it on purpose. That what and the easiest way to live is to receive the love, the holiness, and wisdom of God, and keep it safe. Reject the darkness that would tamper with it. Now, I knew that the Lord hate pride. I read scriptures that way, and I began to understand why people went awry, and it was the common denominator was pride. So I said, I hate pride. I started saying that I hate it. From there, I learned to reject darkness, just like I rejected pride and sin itself. I said, Lord, I don't want there to be no chance that I'll reject you for anything in this world. Now, and I know that I can be tempted, but I don't ever, ever want to be tempted by anything that I will betray you. How do I do it? That's the kind of person God can teach. You got to be serious and you got to want it. Nobody can make you want it. People can teach all day about how good these things are. But you got to want it. And if you want the love of God, you can have it. The Lord will give you all these things. He has a lot to say. And in upcoming broadcasts, I'm going to read some of these words that God has given. Now, I'm out of time right now, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. He's well-versed on everything and every problem you could possibly have. So follow the peace, rest in Him, and pay attention. He has so much to say. Till next time, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.